Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Hadn't it been great to be here today? How many enjoyed that? All right, good, good, good. Praise the Lord. I want to say thank you to everyone who had a part in these beautiful decorations. Don't they look good? Laura, where are you at? Ann, Hannah, are they all downstairs? Charlie and Sherry, I think, helped out. Bethany, where are you? She helped out. And then we had four men clear off our leaves. Does it look better, y'all? The leaves are cleared out. And I appreciate Mike and Seth and Ed, if Ed is here, and Leonard. Appreciate y'all's help yesterday. And it's been a great blessing. And then we had a tree fall. Well, actually, we had three trees fall down. How many noticed that coming in today? Almost fell in the creek. And Jeremy was up here yesterday cutting that up. So if you'd like to help cut that up, we're going to just keep it. We're going to put it in the pile and use it in our fire pit. If you'd like to help with that, Jeremy, raise your hand. Coordinate with him, and we'd like to get that tree all cut up. All right, isn't it a privilege to be chosen? How many remember in the classroom, the teacher would ask a question, and everybody's hand would go up. Some of y'all would get real excited. Me, pick me, pick me. And then the teacher would pick, they would point to you and say, yes. Woo, didn't that feel good to be chosen? How about on the playground? You're picking teams. You got two captains. Y'all remember these days? And the first pick of the captain, boy, they said your name. Woo, that made you feel special. Well, what about when you wanted to go to college. You filled out the application, and then all of a sudden, one day in the mailbox, you got that acceptance letter. They chose you to be a student at their college. Wow, that was awesome. What about a job? You apply for the job, you interview for the job, but then the boss calls you back in his office one day and says, guess what? You got it. You're chosen to do this job. Well, you know, we could talk about people who get different awards and honors throughout their life. They're chosen. They're voted on. They're the winners. Well, there are some people, on the other hand, they feel like they have never been chosen for anything. You know, we may not get chosen for something we really want to get chosen for. However, we are all chosen, listen, for the greatest honor that could ever be given to anyone. We are chosen by God. And today I want to talk about Mary. She was privileged to be chosen to be Jesus' mother. Number one, we're going to look at the privilege of carrying Jesus in her womb. Ladies, how many of you have experienced this? My hand's not up, okay? Ladies, how many of you have experienced that? Amen? What a blessing. It's amazing to see the process of a baby entering into the world. To hear the heartbeat for the first time. Woo, that's exciting. To wonder if the baby is a boy or a girl. Can you go back in your mind to that time when that happened for you? To see the ultrasound and see that precious life. By the way, life begins at conception. Can I hear an amen? And how about the kicks of the unborn child? Man, Tanya would be laying in bed or in the recliner. And she'd say, come here. Put your hand right here. Boom, I'd get a kick. It'd be awesome. And you know, just watching a life, really it's a miracle, unfold behind the veil of a mother's body. I've experienced it three times as a father, and it is amazing. You know, the scriptures are pretty much silent about the 9 months that Mary carried Jesus in her womb. Mary, of course, felt things she had never felt before. Boy, she had to endure the looks, listen, and the whispers of her neighbors. Can you imagine the chatter going around about her? I'm sure there were times when Mary doubted herself. Did I really see an angel? Did it all happen like I remember? The Bible does record a visit she made to her cousin Elizabeth. Gabriel had said that Elizabeth would give birth in 3 months. She wanted to go see her so they could rejoice together. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation, the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. That's John the Baptist, by the way. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." There it is. Number one, the privilege of carrying Jesus in her womb. "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In other words, she's saying, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? Well, here's Mary. She's wanting safety. She's wanting support. And she's seeking out Elizabeth. Two women, separated by age, but connected by family. And both are the unlikeliest women to get pregnant. One's too old, Elizabeth, and one is a virgin, Mary. Mary enters the house, and as soon as Elizabeth heard her greeting, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the unborn baby leaped in her womb. Now let's read verse 44. "For lo," we're just repeating it again, "for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Now the first words out of Elizabeth's mouth was blessed. She didn't say that Mary was blessed above women, but among women. We don't need to worship Mary. Are you with me, church? She's human just like you and me. We don't need to worship her, but we do need to recognize her place in the plan of God. Elizabeth focused on Mary's faith. Look at verse 45. "And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." In other words, Elizabeth's telling Mary, you believe that the Lord would do what he said. And that faith was honored. Because Mary believed the word of God, boy, she experienced the power of God. And that first word in verse 45, or second word, blessed, it also means happy. Did you know you're going to experience some great happiness in your life when you follow the Lord's will? When you do what he asked you to do, and that happiness was going, she was going to experience that happiness in her life. I think that's why she breaks out in a song. Look at verse 46. "And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord." Praise the Lord. Man, have we been praising the Lord this morning? Through the tots and the kids, and then we got to join in at the last. We give him all the glory. What a wonderful experience it is to praise and magnify the Lord. Then she says, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low esteem of his handmaid." Hey, he took notice of me, a lowly servant girl. "For behold, from henceforth or now on, all generations shall call me blessed." Now, her desire as she sings this song is to magnify the Lord, not herself. In this little portion of Scripture, verse 46 through 55, she exalts the Lord and she uses the phrase, he hath. This song is not about her, it's about him. She uses it 8 times. She sang, number one, about what God did for her. Those are the verses I just read. And God saved her. Where does it mention that? Verse 47. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. How many rejoice in God because he is your Savior? Amen? He saved your soul. And so that indicates Mary was a sinner just like the rest of us. She had to place her faith and trust in Jesus just like us for her eternal salvation. Next, he also chose her. Man, look, he looked with favor upon her. She wasn't perfect, but she was obedient. And she was in a position to where God could use her. God showed his grace on her. God was also mighty for her, working on her behalf. Then she sings about what God did for us. Look at verse 50. "And his mercy is upon them that fear him from generation to generation." I think I left out verse 49. That's part of her song. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things." She's just thanking the Lord for what God did for her. "Holy is thy name." But then she turns it to us. "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Mary included all of God's people who fear him. Do you fear him this morning? We've all received his mercy. We've all experienced his help. She sang about three groups of people that God's been merciful to. Verse 51, let's read it together. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. You know who she's singing about? God has been merciful to the helpless. How about number 52? He hath put down the mighty from their seats or their thrones. He's exalted them of low degree. Boy, he is merciful to the humble. And then verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He's been merciful to the hungry. You ever been helpless? I hope we're humble, not full of pride. Boy, God exalts the humble. And then how many of you have been fed recently? He has supplied all your needs. He blesses us when we're hungry. You know, Mary saw the Lord turning everything upside down. This weak world, the weak would rise over the mighty. The humble would scatter the proud. The nobodies would be exalted. The hungry would be filled. The grace of God works contrary to this world's system. And Mary sang also about what God did for the Israelites. Look at verse 54 and 55. He hath hoped or has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Boy, he made a covenant with Abraham that's going to last forever. God was on Israel's side. How many believe God is still on Israel's side? Amen. He would remember them. He would keep his promises. He would be merciful. Well, Mary stayed with Elizabeth until John the Baptist was born, and then she returned home. By this time, it was very clear that she was pregnant. She was showing. No doubt the tongues were flapping. No doubt she was the talk of the village. It was time to tell her family. It was time to tell Joseph. It was right at this time when God appeared unto Joseph and told him what to do. Through it all, this pregnancy had been filled with praise, worship, and thanksgiving. But not only do we see the pregnancy, but we also see the privilege of giving birth to the Son of God. When the pregnancy was nearing the end, she and Joseph began the long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Caesar was ruling, but God was in charge. Amen. Doesn't matter who's in the White House, who's in charge? God's in charge, right? Caesar's demand was for everyone to register for the census, pay taxes in the city where he was born. So the sovereign God put the entire Roman Empire in motion for the single purpose of getting Mary to where she needed to be at the moment Jesus was going to be born. The 80-mile journey on a donkey. By the way, did you see our donkey this morning? Singing about carrying Jesus. Amen. Wasn't that awesome? I'm sure Mary was out of breath when she finally got there. She's tired. She was swollen in her hands, her wrists, her ankles. It was very trying, but she was determined to do it. Then they arrive in Bethlehem, and they found a community flooded with people. You've read the stories, and you read the biblical account. The inn was overflowing. There was no room for them to sleep, much less give birth to a baby. Yet someone, perhaps it was the innkeeper, the Bible's not specific, was willing to go above and beyond the call of duty. They cared enough to make a place for them in a lowly stable. Nothing fancy, but at least it provided them shelter. At least they had a little privacy. This act of kindness guaranteed that the Lamb of God would be born in a stable. Look over to Luke chapter 2, 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The time had finally come. The baby was going to be born. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I'm amazed at the simplicity of that description, aren't you? This remarkable event is so understated. No record of how she agonized in pain. Ladies, did y'all agonize in pain during birth? Woo! It's rough. There were no record of shouts of joy on Joseph's part. Man, I'm just on the sidelines just cheering Tanya on, amen? And joy is filling my heart when our babies were born. But there's no record of that. And how he had to deliver the baby himself. Boy, I'm glad that wasn't my job, right? And I'm sure, boy, that cattle stall stank. Can y'all imagine? There was no warm water. There was not a midwife there to help him. Couldn't call the midwife. No. But I tell you, Mary experienced emotion, wonderful emotion. She was overwhelmed by the reality that the child that she cuddled, that she swaddled, that she nursed, was the very Son of God. Wow. This child would rescue a lost world from their sins. This child would be the one who would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, nothing in Mary's life could have prepared her for all this. When I look at Mary, I just see an ordinary girl from an ordinary family living in an ordinary town. Yet her obedience changed everything. She embraced God's extraordinary plan for her life. Did you know with God, He can turn the ordinary into the extraordinary? And that's what we see in Mary's life. What a privilege for her to be chosen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for the story of a willing vessel. And Lord, that's all you require of us. Yielding control to you, allowing you to work in each of our lives. And Lord, I pray we'd be more determined this Christmas season to serve you, to follow you, to obey you, just like we see in Mary's life. Thank you, Lord, that you came to this wicked world. You left the glories of heaven for us. You sacrificed your life on the cross for the payment of our sins. I wonder if there's anyone here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've never placed my faith and trust in Jesus as my Savior like Mary did. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that today? Nobody's looking except me. Anybody? Just raise your hand, put it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Anyone? Last call, anyone? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time we've gathered today. Help us to reflect on your goodness and your grace during this Christmas season. Lord, it is a privilege to be one of your own. Lord, help me to live my life pleasing to you. And Lord, bless this holiday season. Help us to stay focused on you as our personal Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.